for tonight will be Colossians chapter 1, 25 through 29. Again, the scripture reading for tonight will be Colossians chapter 1, 25 through 29. The church of which I become a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his ministry, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me.
Good evening. So good to see all of you here. So good to see families back together again, the young ones that have gone off to college and come back, doctors and things like that. By the way, Michelle, I have a pain right here I'll have to talk to you about later. No, not that kind of doctor. Okay. Good to see everybody tonight. As some of you may know, I've been struggling with almost a sore throat for about a week now. And I got my water. And I'm going to make this short and to the point, and so we'll do just fine. Rescue the perishing, you just sang. The last verse kind of spoke to me. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. That pretty much just summarizes some of the things we'll be talking about tonight in my lesson. Got my PowerPoint here, and I've got my notes. So let's get started. This is primarily a lesson for the Lord's church. Primarily a lesson for the church here in this place. So if you're visiting from other congregations and you're not here, you'll have something to take home. But this is directed for the church here in Ridgecrest, the Indian Wells Valley Church. My lessons have been said to be practical. I like that. Matter of fact, I've said I don't really do preaching, I do talks. So I hope you'll take this as a practical lesson. This one won't be any different. But along with the practical, I hope I'll challenge you. I hope this will be encouraging. I hope this will be a positive and hopeful lesson. And I'm sure maybe some of you are hoping that it'll be a short lesson. I'm hoping that my throat will last. So welcome to evening worships. This is a Christian's call to arms. And by the way, I do have a handout. It's going to come out about midway through the service. I've got some men that are going to hand it out because you'll see why. I'm going to hand out the handout later. Christian's call to arms. It's a call to pick up the sword of the Spirit, to put on the armor of God and to get in the battle for souls. I'll be asking you during the lesson to do some specific things. And I think you'll see why that we need specific things to engage in this war for souls. I love this time of year. And I think that's why I like to do this end of the year sermon. And the reason is because I'm used to thinking backward on the year that's just passed. You know, we're almost a new year, 2016. But as I get to this point of the year, I always want to look forward to the new year. What am I going to do better? What am I going to do different? I've got some really exciting things on my horizon in the new year. I'm going to retire in January. That's pretty exciting. All that time that was sucked up by 40 hours of work week is now mine. What am I going to do with it? Isn't that a great opportunity? And truly, isn't the Christian's life one of always examining, looking back at what you've done, looking back at what you may not have done, and examining yourself? Isn't that what we do when we partake of the communion? We examine ourselves. We're told to do that. We're also told in the scriptures to walk circumspectly. And I think you have to apply that to your own personality too, along with looking at the world around you and looking at the dangers that are there. You have to look at the dangers within. So we have to walk circumspectly. We have to look at ourselves. And that's the goal of the Christians. And again, that's why I like this time of year. It's kind of the apex of the old is gone. It's done. There's nothing, you can't go back in time and change anything, but you can only look to the future and what you can do different in the future. So let's take a look at some goals I had last year. Maybe you'll even remember this slide when I presented the big picture in last January. I said I wanted to learn all I can about the big picture method of sharing the gospel. I think I did that. I'm still growing in that, though, but that's an ongoing goal. I said I wanted to establish classes to teach myself and others to present the big picture. We did that. We had classes every other Saturday down here, and we had a group of sometimes 6, 8 people here, sometimes smaller numbers as people are busy, and sometimes the Saturdays are hard to do. I also said I wanted to have Brent Hunter come here and talk about the big picture method of sharing the Bible. And we were able to do that. We got him to come here, dynamic speaker. He shared some things with us. It was real exciting to me when he came here. We had already started classes on the big picture. He said he had never had a congregation that had started classes on training how to help people teach the gospel with the big picture before he got there. In other words, it would usually start with him and his lesson series and then go from there. So we kind of got a jump on the year that way. But Brent did come and he taught us. Yeah, that's good English. PhD probably picked that right up, yeah. I committed to doing at least 5 presentations of the big picture in 2015. I met that goal. Not with a great deal of success, I might add, and we'll talk in a little bit more about results of some of these things. But I did make that goal of doing 5 big picture presentations. And I committed to using the big picture and the full message of the New Testament to be a soul winner for Christ. That's something I think I'm still working on. That's something I still struggle with. But I'm going to continue that goal, and I'm going to talk about my New Year's goals at the end of this lesson. So who in this audience has not heard of the big picture of the Bible? Raise your hand. Just need to know. Okay, 1 person. All right. I'll talk a little bit about that so you'll know what I'm talking about when I get to it. So how did we do in 2015? I think we did pretty well with our goals, with my goals, which you shared in. But can we do more in 2016? Again, looking back and then looking forward, what can we do? Well, here's 2015 in review. We trained some Peter, Pauls, and Priscillas. Those are the people that go out and present the big picture gospel message. And here's their names up here. Fran Krabbe, Mitch and Nancy Brown, Justin Ennis, DeLynn, Michael Goins, Kay and Don Blatchley, Vince Hess, Ron and Patty Crawforth, and me. Nice core group, right? Great core group of people who started out and committed to learning the big picture. I hope I didn't miss anybody in that group. And there are some here who are trained and who are doing evangelism in their own way, and that's fine. But we kind of focused on this way of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ron and Patty, of course, have moved on, and they're carrying on the gospel message in other places, and Ron's learning how to be a trained preacher, and that's great. So what were the results of our collaborative effort in this effort? Let's see. We have, if my count is correct, and I think it is, 3 souls have been baptized this year. And I don't know if there's more that I don't know about. I know there were 3. And a lot of that was a result of people presenting or being encouraged to present the gospel by being involved with the big picture. And so I'm tickled that we had 3 souls added to our number here. 1, a person that I talked to personally, I believe has been restored to faith. This was a Christian who was taught. He had fallen away, and I presented the big picture to him, and he is now searching to get back in to his faith and finding a church home. And that is an ongoing effort, but I believe he is on the right path and in the right direction. We also did many gospel presentations. Some of them we did to church members as a part of our practice. We found that members were strengthened by the presentations and by learning this method of teaching the gospel. People were kind of regrounded in the gospel message and in a way to present it. And I'll share with you some of the things that these folks on the list said about the big picture of the Bible. So this was good, but what can we do more? Oh, by the way, prayers were offered up. People were praying for us. And I found that every time we prayed for a specific individual, we had an open door. There were times when I would just pray this one individual that came back to the faith, Ron. I just prayed that he would be open to hearing the big picture. And sure enough, the next week he had an opening and he said, I'd be happy to come over to your house. And I presented to him. And he was very open and receptive to it. And so prayers were offered up, and I hear we still are announcing to pray for those who are doing big picture presentations, and that should continue. So these are the good things, good results. But again, I'll ask the question, can we do more in 2016? Do some of you remember the parable of the lighthouse that Brent gave? I'm not going to tell the whole parable again, but I'll make an analogy. That might have been Pinto Street. Is this Norma Avenue? Have we just gotten bigger in our facilities and our infrastructure? Sure, we've increased in infrastructure. We have that. We have more chairs. We have more seating. But are we really working to fill it with saved souls? And this is what we need to do. Yeah, we could talk about numbers. I gave a number. We've baptized 3 people. But what are 3 people? What are 3 souls? Those are the living stones that the church is built on. Mitch preached this morning about salvation and how the church is the salvation element that God will save. And so we have these living stones. So we talk about 3. Yeah, we added 3. That's a number. That's 3 living souls, 3 saved souls that are added to the Lord's body. And angels in heaven are rejoicing. So let's remember, we've been taught to teach, one to win, and saved to serve. It's a very simple message. It's not a catchphrase. It's a mission. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so that is our mission. It becomes our mission, not just something we talk about. Colossians 1:28 was read by Nick, and thank you, Nick, for the reading, and thank you, Warren, for the good song leading. When we do things together here, we worship God properly. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. Sometimes we have to get wiser on our ways so that we can be effective teachers, correct? I mean, if you're going to be a good, effective teacher, you're going to have to be a little wiser. So we're going to teach every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. This was kind of our goal scripture when we were doing the big picture trainings. We would sometimes repeat this at the beginning of the training session. But this is a good scripture, and it really talks to what we should be doing as a mission of the church, proclaiming Christ to every man and teaching with all wisdom and presenting everyone blameless to God in Christ. How do we do this? Well, we talked about Peter, Paul's, and Priscilla's. These are the people that would be active presenting the big picture gospel message. We have those. I'd like to see more. As a matter of fact, I'd like to challenge some of you young people, college age especially, you should be able to present the big picture presentation. I'm going to show you about 4 or 5 different ways to do it later on in the lesson, but you should be working to do that. Can you imagine your lifetime is starting now as a young adult? Can you imagine if you're trained from now all through life that every time you make a contact and somebody is willing, somebody you know from college, somebody you know socially, somebody you meet in business, you're prepared to give them the gospel message? What a wonderful thing that would be. Some of us wish we could go back until we were about 25 or 30 and learn to do that better. Unfortunately, in my religious upbringing, I learned to teach the 4 spiritual laws. If you're familiar with those, because they're taught in most all college campuses anymore, you'll know that it's a couple laws short of the true gospel. It starts off pretty good, but it doesn't. It falls short. We also need some Andrews. We need people in this congregation that will invite others to see the big picture presentation. In other words, You invite somebody to see the big picture, and then you call one of the Peter, Pauls, and Priscillas and say, hey, I've got a person that wants to see the big picture. Can you come over at 7 o'clock on Monday and present it? And I'll guarantee you we'll find somebody who will do that. But we need people that are willing to invite somebody to see the gospel of Christ. Are you willing out to get out of your comfort zone, accept some training, and make some changes maybe in your habits and the way you talk to people about the Lord? This is what we need to do. What do we also need in the church? We need some Barnabases. These are the people that are doing the encouraging, the uplifting, showing hospitality. One of the things that drew me into the church was when I was invited back a second Sunday with a lunch invitation. Come worship with us again next Sunday, and we'd love to have you over for lunch. Possibly that invitation was what got me to come back and hear the gospel message again at a small Church of Christ up in Chico, California. So, what has the big picture done for some? Well, here's Fran Krabbe right up front. But here's her words big on the screen. Maybe a little embarrassed, but this is what the big picture meant to her. The first things would be that I have my faith reinforced by going over the material. What a wonderful thing to have your faith reinforced by a training method to teach the gospel. She felt like she had the power to share the gospel without fear. What a wonderful thing to start feeling confidence to talk to people because you have a way, a method of sharing the gospel. Isn't that great? And as she summarized, it's a great way to share the great gift we have with others. That's how she felt about it. How did Nancy Brown feel about it? She said the big picture makes it so much easier to inquire if people are there, if people are interested in what the Bible is all about. And then she did a presentation when her friend was defensive. It said, when he saw that I was not there to argue, he sat back and listened. And so she's not discouraged anymore. She's got a way to present the gospel that's powerful. Most of them ended up with a thank you for being willing to avail yourself and to do this training, and I really appreciate that. DeLynn Ennis is here. She said, it gives me confidence in talking to someone about the Bible. I feel like I have in my hand a multifaceted tool for evangelism. It sharpened my focus and helps clarify, even to those of us already in Christ, the real gospel message. Okay? Good words. Justin Ennis said the big picture provided an excellent overview of the wonder that is the Word of God, as well as finishing up with a clear biblical call to action. We need that. We need that clear biblical call to action. The gospel calls us to respond and to act. Mitch laid that out for us beautifully this morning. I have heard that covering the big picture in the class played part in a subsequent baptism. You may see a name up there, and I don't think he'll be embarrassed to say that was Nick Windsor. And I asked Nick straight out because he decided to be baptized after Justin had taught the big picture in four segments in his Sunday school class, correct? And I asked Nick, I said, do you feel that was instrumental in your decision to be baptized? And he said, yes, he felt it was. That he felt he understood the gospel call clearly by hearing that message. Mitch Brown, our preacher. He said it was a tool that was easy to promote and easy to deliver. The graphics were great in helping others understand God's word and his requirements for salvation. It also made it possible to make the presentation an open Bible experience. If somebody wanted to go deeper into the scriptures, you could open your Bible and study the scriptures in depth. Or if you wanted to just give a very quick 55-minute presentation, it would work. Michael Goins is one that I really relate to, and I'll tell you why. Because Michael said, the big picture has given me purpose in my service for the Lord. This gave me an avenue to reach others. I'm just picking sections out of this. Gave me an avenue to reach others and to do the Lord's work. It helped me determine who is a true seeker. If you're doing this right, you can figure out right away if somebody is a true seeker that really wants to understand God's word and his message. The reason I relate to Michael so much is because he confided with me that he had been really feeling lethargic in his spiritual life, that he just didn't know where he was going. He was feeling just very, very lethargic, I think is the word. But the big picture seemed to just give him a breath of fresh air. And I think I relate to that. I relate to that very strongly because I think that's where even I, as a Christian, I found that I just wasn't doing the work that I knew the Lord wanted me to do. And so I felt very strongly when I saw this, this is a way that I can present the gospel of Christ. So I praise Mr. Goins and his family, and I think some of you know his wife was baptized this year also. So the greatest need of the church today, I believe, is still personal evangelism. We can get out, we can teach our families, we need to do that. We can baptize our children when they grow up and come of age and understand the gospel from years of being in Sunday school, and that's great. We need to do that. We need our families to be in the Lord. But what are we doing to really reach out to this community and fill every empty seat in this building? I was introduced to the big picture by some Christian friends of mine that are up in Fresno. Some of you that may not know a lot about it, and Michelle, I'd be happy to give you some information on it afterwards. You all know that Brent, the minister of the church at Kirkland, Washington, was the one that came and really presented this to us. But let's ask, we sing, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Are we really doing that in our Christian lives? I'd like the men to come up and grab a worksheet now, if they would, and pass that down. And I'd like everybody that's over 16 to have one of these worksheets. And this is the part where you're going to participate in tonight's lesson. I'm going to ask you to fill out a few lines of this worksheet. And I hope you have pens and pencils with you. If you don't, you can probably do this mentally. But I would like you to actually write some names down on this sheet. So as the men go back and give you a sheet, you'll notice on the sheet, and I just realized I don't have one. I'm going to get one. Ron, can you hand me one, please? You'll notice on the sheet, first, a very familiar verse up in the corner. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. So the Christian's call to arms is, who will you help lead to Christ in 2016? And I'm going to ask you right now to write down three names of persons you know who need to hear the gospel message. Three names. Just three. Not 25. But everybody knows three people. You probably know hundreds of people. People who do marketing and stuff like that say everybody knows probably 800 or 900 people in their lifetime. You'll know 800 or 900 people personally. So I think you can find three. So I want you right now to write down three names in those three lines. I'm going to give you a minute to do that because this is important. Don't prejudge them. Don't think, well, this person would and this person won't. Just write down three names. People you know that need to hear the gospel of Christ. The next question is the tough one. What will you do in 2016 to make that happen? What will you personally do in 2016 to make that happen? What tools or talents will you use in that effort? There's an interesting survey. A recent survey found that 90% of the unchurched people said they would attend services if invited by a respected family member or friend. 90% said they would consider attending services if invited by a respected family or friend. The same survey reported that only 20% of the people reported ever being invited by a respected family or friend. Now, isn't that sad? There's 70% of people there that would consider going and worshiping with you or coming to church services if invited, but never got invited. So what can we do? To be engaged as rescuers of lost sinners, to be a light in a dark world, to do the work of spreading the good news of the gospel, or to bring souls to Christ, what can we do? 2014, I did an interesting thing on Facebook. I posted a Bible verse a day for 1 year. Some of you looked at those, some of you read them, some of you commented how much it helped you, encouraged you, and that kind of thing. But you know what? I don't know of one conversion that resulted from that effort, which just shows that we can have a lot of activity, right, with very little results or very little measurable results that we would want. In the government, we learn to measure things by productivity. We're evaluated in our work efforts by our productivity, how much we actually accomplish what we do. And so in 2016, what didn't you do What will you do in 2016 that you didn't do in 2015 to teach the salvation message to possibly those three people on your list? What will the Indian Wells Valley Church of Christ do in 2016 to bring more souls in and fill this building that God has given us? Well, I'm going to recommend something. I'm going to recommend that we do more presenting the big picture of the Bible as a very solid way to promote and to teach people the true gospel message that so many need. The reason this is such a good method is because, number one, it focuses on the gospel. It discusses who and what God is and Jesus and what they've done and why Jesus had to die. And the prospect at the end of that 55-minute presentation understands the good news of the gospel and what he needs to do to respond to it. And so I recommend that. Let's talk about some other tools. How about prayer? And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Luke 10:2. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:16. I can tell you I was also greatly encouraged by a respected member of this congregation. I won't mention his name, who kind of admitted to some of us that he hadn't had a real strong prayer life and that he was looking to increase his prayer life. And I was encouraged by that because I think that's also something that I'm not real strong in sometimes. My prayer life lags sometimes. But we need to pray as a tool to get souls into heaven. We need to pray for specific people. You need to start praying for those three names that are on your list right now. Tonight, when you go home, pray for those people that they'll hear the gospel and be responsive to it. What else can we learn to do? We can learn to give a personal invitation to attend services. We can ask them, believing first that they'll say yes. Okay, so let's have a positive attitude, look for a positive outcome. We can ask them using a meaningful, specific, and not vague generalities. I talked about this one time, and Mitch has given us a good tip. If you listen to his sermon this morning, he told you what he's going to be preaching on in January. He's going to start out talking about the authority of the church, why we do things religiously, why we should do certain things. This is an interesting topic people want to know about. So invite people to come and hear that lesson series. Whether they're your religious friends or just not religious at all, just find a way to, and ask Mitch, what can I ask people to that you're going to learn more about what he's going to preach on so you can effectively invite them to hear that those lessons. Be positive and enthusiastic. That will always get results. There it is. If at first they answer no, I would gently ask why. What is it about attending worship service that might be offensive to you? I think I can probably reassure you in that. Reassure them that you only want them to visit and just check us out. Don't make it a pressure thing. Just tell them, come and check us out. And if you like us, stick around. If you don't, you can go worship down the street because there's a whole row of churches down there. Ask if they would like an in-home personal study of the big picture of the Bible. We now have those. They're online at the church website. You can go there and download a correspondence course. You can print them for them. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure that I have some of those printed and available back in the tract rack. We're going to have to get a new tract rack or another one because ours is filling up pretty quickly. But again, let me go back to that 70%. You remember 90% of people said they would consider going to services if invited, and then 20% reported they had, only 20% reported they have been. This is how we get at that 70%. So let's start working on that. Let's invite people to see the big picture of the Bible. This is where I need to take a sip of water. An invitation to see the big picture of the Bible is another tool we can use, along with prayer and with inviting people to services. We can do a face-to-face invitation. People you see. You need training to do that? We'll do that. We need to train people on how to do an invitation. You can use a business card invitation. Got some up here. Printed very nicely. The ones I carry have my name and phone number and email address on the back. So when I meet somebody, would you like to see the big picture of the Bible? Here it is. Here's my information. Let's set an appointment, and I'll be happy to come show you. What else have we got? Postcards. You've seen these in the backs of the pews, correct? They're all there. Use them. We also did an invitation letter. If you're so inclined to mail a letter to somebody, you can do that. Types of big picture presentations that we have now, we can do it by flip chart. We can do it on a computer, on PowerPoint. There's a new little thing I'm learning about, which is a Join Me app, where you can do an online presentation with somebody with their computer and your computer, and you have them on your telephone. So this is a great way to do a long-distance presentation. Now, you got somebody you know back on the East Coast you want to present the gospel to? Let's get them with this application online and we can present it to them. How about the big picture light? That's actually on your handout is a little web link to the big picture light, which is on YouTube. And this is a really nice 12-minute presentation of the big picture gospel message. Great way to introduce somebody to it. If they respond favorably to that, now you've got an open door to do more study with a person. And here's a representation of the correspondence course that I mentioned that's on our church website. Or you might want to get the Jewel Miller Visualized Bible Series, a set of 5 lessons, 40 minutes in length, that costs $169.99. I don't say that's a bad presentation. It's great. But that should be done after a person has already responded to the gospel. Once they understand the gospel message and respond to it, then you can go into this kind of detail with them. And that would be a great way to do that, is using that series. I'm going to wrap up here pretty quick. Another thing we need is a little anti-apathy, I think, in the church. It's great to have a great attitude. And I don't think there's anyone in this building that would say, I don't care if people hear the gospel and respond to it. I don't think one of you, if I asked you, would say, I don't care. Everybody cares that people would learn the gospel message. The problem is the apathy in action. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. You all have different gifts and different abilities. Some of you are going to be presenters. Some of you are going to be inviters. Some of you are going to be encouragers. Find your talent and use it, and that will lift you out of the apathy of action. What are my commitments for 2016? I commit to using the big picture to teach the full message of the New Testament and be a soul winner to Christ. I commit to doing one big picture presentation every month in 2016. And at the end of next year, I hope I can report that I've done that. That means I'm going to do a minimum of 12 this year. I'm going to start a new class to help others present the big picture. If you're interested in learning this presentation method, I want you to contact me. I will decide where we meet. I'm going to suggest probably Saturday mornings. We'll have about 10 weeks of lessons. And since I've done this last year, it's going to be much better this year, I can guarantee you. Because I learned from all the things we did wrong. I used to joke with the class, I'm leading you from behind. Because I would ask them to do things and then I wouldn't do them myself. And that's my confession. I'm going to work to develop e-teams to encourage, edify, and educate the Lord's body. If we can do more to teach other people on how to invite, and I'm going to commit personally to grow in my concern and prayer for the lost. I'm going to join that brother that says, I need to pray more for the lost and for specific people. Will you join me in the fight in 2016? This is a Christian's call to arms, to arm up to the battle. What will you do in 2016 to win those souls to Christ? Those three names that you put on that list, what are you going to do? Will you be a Peter, Paul, or Priscilla? Will you be an Andrew? Will you be a Barnabas? Will you be a working Christian? This year is a new start. I plan to start the new big picture class probably in February. I haven't set a date yet. Talk to me if you're interested, and we'll get together and we'll do this. And we'll learn to grow together in our ability and in our actions and in what we do as Christians. So I hope you'll continue to join me. That is my lesson tonight. It has not been a lesson to teach you the gospel of Christ. If you were here this morning, you heard that from Mitch. He did the salvation message. I'm doing one to teach you that there is a very good way that we can grow this church, bring new souls into the fold, and teach people the gospel. And I hope you'll continue to join with me in it. Let's join together as we stand and sing.